The new Dune movie is out and the worms are back. And that is the sound of Timothée Chalamet trying to climb a very noisy worm. Not just any worm, but one of the sandworms that make the spice that enables interstellar travel. They have big teeth, as I'm sure you've seen, most of you, and they can grow to 450 metres in length. And they have terraformed the planet Arrakis, turning most of it into dry desert. But we have worms of our own. They do their own terraforming, and some of ours are pretty fearsome as well. Paleontologist Dr. Luke Parry is at Oxford University's Department of Earth Sciences, where he's an associate professor. Luke studies worms from the Cambrian period, so 540-odd million years ago. Hello, Luke.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. I'll bet you have always been a Dune fan. Didn't Frank Herbert dedicate his book to all the dry land ecologists or some such?
Yeah, it was definitely something like that. But yeah, I've been a huge Dune fan for a long time. So I think I first read it when I was about 15 or 16, something like that.
Like many of us. Worms are crucial to the entire Dune universe. They also change the whole nature of that planet. Can our worms make that claim as well, Luke?
Yeah, I definitely think so. So the period in time that I study, the Cambrian period, at the start of that period, about 540 million years ago, all of a sudden, worms start burrowing through sediments. And this is something which completely changes the how the seafloor looks and basically, you know, how oceanic ecosystems function for the next half a billion years.
If they hadn't started burrowing, what would the Earth look like?
So before the sort of advent, the origin of worms, seafloor environments were smothered by what we call microbial mats. And these were sort of crusts of bacteria that sealed off the sediments underneath from the water above, stopping oxygen getting in. So it would have meant that all of these sediments were really anoxic, sort of would have been like when you plunge your foot into the mud in a river and you get that sort of black mud. That would have been what the whole of the seafloor would have looked like across the entire planet. And worms changed that by mixing sediments up and allowing oxygen to get inside. So these worms sort of opened up this new type of ecosystem. And that's where a lot of animals make a living today.
We would never have gone to the beach in those days, I think.
No, indeed. It would have been pretty smelly.
How big have our own worms got at various periods? I mean, we still have the odd big worm, don't we?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there are some earthworms that get really big, up to sort of about a meter or more in length. So there's Megascalides, which actually occurs in New Zealand as well. It's one of the biggest earthworms that we know of. But there are some worms in the oceans that get really big as well. So there are these things called Unicid worms, which are related to earthworms, but they're a group called polychaetes that live in the ocean. And these things live as sit-and-wait ambush predators and have big, fearsome jaws, kind of not unlike the worms that you get in Dune. And they sit and wait for prey like octopuses and fish to swim past and then jump out of their burrows and grab them.
Gee.
So yeah, lots of worms around. Yeah.
Well, with a bit of CGI, that almost sounds like Dune proportions. But...
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, not almost getting there.
I read there was a 40-centimetre long worm. That's a long worm discovered once in a vegetable garden in England. I wonder if that's true.
Yeah, that is true. That worm is now in the collections of the Natural History Museum in London. So that is definitely true. But the earthworms elsewhere, particularly in New Zealand and Australia, definitely get bigger. So there are types of worms called priapulids that have many, many teeth in a ring around their mouths, kind of like what you see in the worms in Dune. And these are actually some of the first worms that we find in the fossil record. So they've been around for over half a billion years. So lots and lots of these worms with teeth.
In Dune, worms sense vibrations, and ours do as well, don't they?
Yep. Yeah. So earthworms definitely do. So one particular prey hunting mechanism that seagulls have figured out is drumming their feet on the ground, sort of mimicking the sound of rain, bringing earthworms to the surface so that the seagulls can predate on them. And that's, you know, more or less exactly how you bring a dune worm to the surface if you want to ride around on it.
Dr. Luke Parry is with us. Many creatures on Earth, I was reading, didn't start off as worms, but became worms.
Yep, that's also definitely true. So sort of wormification is a common process that's happened throughout the evolution of animals. And probably a really obvious example is that lizards have lost their legs lots of times independently. So becoming becoming worms. So snakes have done it, but there are also lots of other different types of legless lizards as well. So being a worm seems like a really good way of making a living as an animal.
I wonder why we're so disparaging of worms if they are so marvelous in history. You know, Grima worm tongue in The Lord of the Rings, that's the first thing that came to my mind then. But we, you know, we don't really like worms, and yet there's a lot to like about them.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, Charles Darwin was a big worm fan. He wrote a book about the importance of earthworms in soils on land. So earthworms on land are really great at, mixing around soils, recycling organic matter. And so I think our gardens and also, a lot of fields that we grow our crops in would look very different if it weren't for the action of worms. They're kind of vital to a lot of things that we need as humans as well.
How smart are worms?
That's a very good question. So some of them are really so I was going to say that some of them are really smart. That's probably not quite true, but there are instances of worms that are related to bobbit worms called ragworms that actually plant deliberately plant seeds and let them germinate because the germinated plant is easier for them to eat than the seed. So although that's probably not, intelligence per se, they definitely have some really complicated behaviors.
Gee, that they're worm gardeners.
Indeed. And they definitely have brains as well. So earthworms have brains. And we actually find some of these brains preserved in the fossil record as well. So I found a fossilized worm brain in a fossil bristle worm from about 508 million years ago. So they're probably not the smartest animals on the block, but they definitely have like a complex nervous system in at least some of these groups.
Do all of them have five hearts?
No, so earthworms do, but not all worms do. So that's quite an atypical feature to have these hearts.
That should make them loving pets, but they aren't. Do worms sleep?
Oh, I don't know. I actually don't know.
How
I've
long could
never asked.
they can actually push 10 times their body weight, I was reading. We can't do that.
No, we definitely can't do that. But I think that's a, once you get small, doing that sort of thing becomes a lot easier because ants can, push around and lift many, many times their own body weight.
Yeah, that's true. They don't all recover if you chop them in half.
No, that's also true. Some of them do though. Some will completely regenerate new heads as well. If you were to chop their heads off, they'd grow a new head, which is quite bizarre, including a new brain, new eyes. And if they've got sort of sensory tentacles on their heads, they'll grow a whole complete brand new pair as well.
How does that happen? If all the Earth's worms died tomorrow, you were talking about the benefit to gardens and agriculture. If they all died tomorrow, we would probably die too, wouldn't we?
Yeah, probably eventually. Yeah. I mean, it would completely change how the planet functions. It would mean that oxygen can't get into soils. It wouldn't be able to get into sediments in the ocean either. So it would, yeah, completely change how the planet works. And actually, it would wipe out quite a lot of Earth's biodiversity as well, because quite a lot of different groups of animals today are worms.
It's fascinating. What was the attraction in worms for you when you began your studies?
So I started off sort of just really wanting to understand evolution. And I got really interested in, the Cambrian explosion, where animal life sort of gets off with a bang. And actually, it was, the worms that were driving this sort of explosion in diversity that we see over 500 million years ago. So they're really the driving force behind this sort of great event in the history of the planet. So I started studying really ancient worm burrows, and then I got sort of fascinated with trying to find out all different things about where worms came from and what sort of things that they do now, but also in the past.
It's a great area of interest, seems to me. Have you seen the new Dune movie?
Not yet, no. So I'm saving it. I'll probably go this weekend.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it yet either. You and me both. Thank you
Yeah.
very much for your time, Luke. Great to chat with you about worms.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.